So as we walk on the face of this planet, we're the ones that are preserving that. We're walking in light of the word. We're walking in light of eternity. We're not walking in light of the world. We're not walking in light of temporal things. We're not walking in light of anything that is fleshly. We're walking in light, in light of things that are eternal or spiritual. And we're the ones that are to reflect that, right? We're the salt, so we preserve. What do we preserve? We preserve a lifestyle that God desired for those that have been called out. Tell your neighbor, say, you've been called out. Now listen, it's a different called out. You're used to getting called out in the front of the to the front of the classroom in the principal's office. So many people think, oh man, I'm getting called out. I'll tell people in the church, I say, hey, listen, you got a minute? Just see me in my office afterwards. They, about what? What did I do? What did they say about me? Did you find out something about me? Can I tell you it's not about you? The reason why I wanted to talk is maybe because there's somebody that you need to touch. Maybe you have something that to share with someone else to build somebody up. And every time they, not every time, but most of the time, it's people feel like they're called out, like they're getting in trouble. Tell your neighbor, say you're not in trouble. All right, why? Because you've been delivered. You've been delivered from trouble. God said, listen, you don't have to worry about eternity anymore. I've taken care of that. That's trouble, amen? He said, oh, you're going to have trials and tribulations while you're walking on the face of this planet, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you know that you're going to overcome through every situation that you walk through. Tell your neighbors, I'm an overcomer. We've got to get this. I know I'm being repetitive, and I know I'm pounding this stuff. But can I tell you, you're an overcomer. You have overcome. Past tense, you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's a done deal. If for a moment you think you're a failure, you've forgotten what God said. And we've got to go back to what he said. You have overcome. Everything that you have need of through for life and godliness, you possess. Tell your neighbors, I got it.
I got it.
Okay. See, once you get it, you got it. And once you got it, you're good. See, but so many people strive in getting it from here to here. Oh, they've heard it. You've heard it. For 20 years, we've been speaking that. We've come a long way in 20 years compared to what we used to speak or the way we used to say it. I remember after being here after about 10 years, and I went to Pastor Fink, and I said, you know, I really have a hard time understanding how much of the law you actually taught us. He looked at me and said, shut up, Halstead. He said, we're all growing in this. Can we all agree on that? We haven't got it all, but we've got a lot more than we had 20 years ago. Amen? We got more to go. We got more that God wants us to understand and walk in a greater freedom. But thank God we're not where we were 20 years ago. So we're to preserve the moral and the spiritual integrity of the word. And we're also, it's about preserving, that salt is about preserving the integrity of what he has spoken over each one of us. We've got to wage war with the prophetic words that were spoken over us. The enemy is waging war against you all the time. He's waging war. He's telling you your experience trumps what God's word says. Nothing that has happened to you trumps what God wants to do and already has done in you. Can we agree with that? No matter what's happened to you, and this is where we get stuck, because of what's happened to me, the word of God has come, but I tend to believe or agree with my experience rather than what he said my freedom comes from. Therefore, I walk in bondage all the time, or I can't believe that the person next to me loves me that much, that they would show up every week and sit next to me. You notice they always sit in the same seats, right? We already have that. That's because they like you. Now, Jim and Lydia are in a different seat this week. So I don't know who you were sitting to next last week, but there must have been some issues there, all right? We'll deal with it. Can you see me in my office afterwards, all right? But most of us sit in the same seats or in the same parameter, in the same area, because we feel comfortable. Wait, I know this spot. Can I tell you, your natural man does the same thing with the demonic realm? Because it's a familiar spirit. And so you'll go back to the same thought, just like sitting in the same seat. We probably should have everybody get up and just mingle everybody around just to break loose. We've done that before, remember? Take 20 minutes, though, because then they get talking and everything. But I want to encourage you, if you've been sitting in the same seat, if you've been sitting in the same seat every week, And if somebody comes near your seat, you even see them looking at your seat, you get an attitude. You get masking tape or duct tape and you write your name and you slap it on there. You probably do the same thing with some of the things that God wants you to let go of. Tell your neighbor, say, let go of your seat. Can I tell you? The ramifications are let go of your thoughts. Let go of your security. Let go of your desires in the natural man. Let go of what's been consuming, controlling you. Let go of that fear where you're afraid to get up and to share about the love of God. Let go of that. Because that's not the truth. The truth is you are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The truth is you greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? That's the truth. So no matter where you go, you walk as an overcomer. No matter where you go, you walk as someone that is free indeed. Therefore, all of our deeds that we do now, it's about preserving the moral and the spiritual integrity of the word and the word spoken over us. But if we shy away, if we cower away, if we chase after the things of the world, we actually duck away from what God spoke over us. Oh, how horrible is that? Sons and daughters of God not believing what the Father said and therefore living less than what he has promised, affecting less than what he has given us. Salvation is the beginning and living it out is the purpose. And we said that we're the light of the world. Therefore, as that light goes before us, no matter where you walk, no matter how dark it is, it lights up when you walk in. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Can I tell you how many people struggle with that thought process that you are the light that walks in and changes the whole atmosphere in the room? Because they feel like they're disqualified, not qualified, underqualified, whatever it is. And therefore they think, well, I got to wait for someone else to come in. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you that walks in the light as he is in the light. And when you walk in, you change the whole atmosphere. And then when you start to speak the word of God. And that sustains the moral and the spiritual fiber of the word of God on this planet, which changes men and women's hearts. Amen? So you walk in the light and you preserve the word of God. Therefore, we're going to walk different than the world. Oh, that the church would start to walk different than the world. We've got a lot of worldly things that are in the church. And in our individual lives, right? The deficit in our government is just a reflection of the deficit in each of the homes. People that can't manage their finances can't complain about a government that can't manage theirs either. When the average millennial, I think they said, is $7,800 in debt on credit cards is the average. Millennials. You can't take care of your finances. You can't take care of the little things, the manna. How can God give us big things? These are things that we use all the time. These are things that we're allowed to do. And we don't allow God to move on our behalf. Because like we said last week, you know, whatever house we were in, was it enough? No, we had to get another one. We had to go bigger. We had to go and all because of a feeling, all because of a desire, all because of a passion rather than a word of God. Because whatever, wherever you're living, can I tell you, that place is big enough to change the world. Place is big enough to change the world. All it takes is you bringing one person in. You might invite the next D.L. Moody in. The next Billy Graham in. Doesn't have to be a lot of people in your house. You don't have to have some big name come to your house. You want to bring a big name in? Bring in Big Jim. That's a big name, Big Jim. You don't have to have anybody else in your home, just the one that God laid on your heart. What was his name, Billy Sunday or whatever? He had the biggest Sunday school he created. One man fell in love with children and built one of the largest Sunday school programs ever on the planet before. You only have to invite one in. What you have is more than enough to change the world, amen? The Christ in you, the place where you live, whatever you're driving, doesn't matter. What you're driving does not determine who you are. Can we all agree on that? Good. Good. Because they used to give me a hard time when I inherited my grandfather's old Datsun pickup truck and I stuck 2-liter Coke cans in the rust holes and they said, Pastor, you can't be driving that. I said, why not? It gets me from point A to point B. You know how many people wanted to buy that truck? There was this much cushion on the seat. But it drove from one place to another, and it didn't cost me anything. That's the kind of vehicles I like. What is God telling us that we are to walk through life as prudent people? If you have your Bibles, over to Proverbs 14 and 15. It says we're to walk as prudent. Those people that are sustaining or preserving the moral and spiritual integrity of the Word of God and the integrity of the Word of God that was spoken over each and every one of us, we're to walk as those that are prudent, meaning acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Proverbs 14, 15, it says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. And this is what he's talking about as we walk as salt and light on the earth. In Proverbs 8:12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Tell your neighbor, say, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. So we got a church full of a bunch of wise guys. Right? What did he say about your old man? He said, reckon him dead. Didn't he say that in Romans? Right? He said, reckon the old man dead. Another way of saying that is forget about it. Right? A bunch of wise guys in the church. Now walk wise, not as unwise. Forget about the old man. Let it go. Don't even talk about him anymore. Have amnesia. Don't tell your kids about who you were either. Don't tell them about what you did before Jesus Christ. Reckon him dead. Forget about him. He's done. He's done. Walk as wise. Not as unwise. See, we're not trying to build a church here. You've entered into a family. A family where God is the King. He's not only the Savior, but he's the Lord of our lives. And therefore, he's our Father. And you've entered into a family. And when we come into the family of God, we come into a love affair with the King of Glory. And the King asks us to do one thing. Hey, let's do what I said rather than what you thought. Let's do what I spoke over your life. Let's agree with how I feel towards you rather than how you feel towards you. Because sometimes you don't feel too good about you, do you? And sometimes you don't feel too good about the person sitting next to you. And sometimes you don't feel good about anybody. But he said, hey, I've created each and every one of them. I've created them all. And this is how I want you to see them. I want you to love me and love them. I want to pull away. Forget about the old way that you used to think. Let go of that criticalness in you. Because most of the time, that criticalness has to do with judging others so that you feel better about yourself. Do you complain about others because you feel horrible about yourself? Do you complain about others because when you look in the mirror, you get frustrated with who you are, what you haven't done? And what you see in the mirror, I want you to know, you're going to have to see yourself according to the Word of God. Therefore, you'll stop judging everybody and start to love everybody. The world doesn't need to be judged. The Bible said they've already judged themselves. They've already condemned themselves. They don't need condemnation from the church. They need somebody to tell them who they are, who created them, and what their purpose is. We're here to be the salt and to preserve the culture of the kingdom. When you walk in here, look at the customs. Culture is how people decide that they themselves want to live and try to bring everyone else to the same desired outcome. That's what a culture is. America has a culture. Different systems, customs we have, social institutions, achievements. Every country has their own culture. As Christians, we have a culture, and it's the culture of the kingdom. Whatever your culture is or was needs to be surrendered, so the only thought is building the kingdom of the culture or the culture of the kingdom in our lives. Amen? No matter what culture you came from, I don't care. Used to be America was a melting pot. When you came here, people came in and they said, listen, we need to assimilate in, learn English, be a part of it, because this is the greatest nation that we've ever been a part of where there's great freedom. Now they're trying to rip it apart. Our job is to build a kingdom culture because it's not about America either, amen? Yeah. We're here when I'm not from here and I'm not staying here for all of eternity. Do I love America? Absolutely. Absolutely love it. Every church has a culture and every home has a culture. I can tell what culture you have, what your focus is, what your thoughts are, just by walking through your house. Over top of the garage when we were younger, my parents had a room over top of the garage. It's an apartment now because they said we caused too much damage and they wouldn't let us play up there anymore. It happens over time when you fall through the ceiling, when you smash windows, with an apple fight inside the room. These things happen and parents take things away from children. But when you walked in, the room was called the snowmobile room. Guess what the culture was? It was all about racing snowmobiles. The shelves with trophies on it had a snowmobile club. 26 families would come. They were all part of the club. And there's the shelves with all the trophies. Here's dad's shelf with a couple trophies. Here's mom's shelf with lots of trophies. She had a lot more trophies than dad did. She raced in the Powder Puff Derby. There were old 16 skidoos and 18 skidoos. My father did everything had to do with racing. Everything, we were kids, go to the racetrack every weekend. They'd be racing out on the ice and out on the snow. We're playing, hanging in trees and eating hot cocoa. We loved going to the races. But that was the culture. And then they built a camp up north, and every other weekend up north, we'd go. Pack up all the snowmobiles, all the clothes, hang out at a camp with no electricity. Propane lights and a wood furnace in the basement. And a hand pump taking water out of the pond. Because the culture was when the snow came, we were riding snowmobiles. At 5, you learned how to ride a snowmobile. At 8, you were riding on the road, following them. When you have a 72, 292 Lynx with a Wankel engine on it, you're the last guy in line. That was mine. Everybody else had the faster sleds. I got this thing right to the bar. And everybody, shoo. My muffler is glowing red. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm killing it at 35 miles an hour. They're all doing 55. I get to an intersection, there they all are. I just go right on by. Because I know they're going to blow me out of the water anyway. It was either that or ride on the back of my father's snowmobile. One time we're going across a creek and I flew off, landed in a creek, had to go home. So I'd rather drive my own. It was a culture that was in our home. It's what we did. When it was summertime, then it was motorcycles and three-wheelers. They didn't have four-wheelers back then. It was always being outside. It was always experimenting. It was always going chasing after something else, looking to see what hill we couldn't make it up. Because riding on the flat was boring. But there was a culture that all winter long, all we thought about was getting home and getting on a snowmobile as soon as you got out of school and then ride it as long as you possibly could till it ran out of fuel or you smash into something. Yeah. Listen, if you've never smashed up a snowmobile, you didn't ride very hard. One time we were riding and all the brush piles was covered with snow. We were jumping the brush piles. And this other kid, Billy Lampman, he came around the lower side, and I come off the top, and he had to sit up next to the carburetor because I landed on his seat with my snowmobile. Yeah. So things happen when you ride a lot, and you get goofy because you lose the fear of it. But I want you to know there's a culture in every home. Everybody can walk into your house and know what your culture is. Does your house express the culture of the kingdom, or is it the cultures of this world? Is it that people know who your God is when they walk into your home? Can they see who your God is? What do they see when they come in? What do they hear when they come in? Because your house has a culture, amen? And our houses are to be the culture of the kingdom. Anybody walks in here, I talked to a lady that I met with this week. She had come here for the first time, and I said, ma'am, can you tell me one thing that you saw? Something that you noticed when you came here for the first time? She said, I said, she said, it felt like I was home. You know what that means? You did your job. Every single person in here. She said, yeah, I felt like I was home. I said, did anybody greet you? Greet me? Half the church greeted me. I said, well, you know, did you find everything okay? Yeah, they told me where everything was. I said, all right, so the experience was okay? She said, I've never experienced anything like it. You know what that means? We're building a culture. And it's the love of God. Do you see how important your hug is? Your words are? You getting outside of, I'm shy, I don't talk to strangers. It's okay. Stranger danger isn't in here. All right? You can get free from that while you're in here. Anybody new comes in, every one of us that knows the Lord Jesus Christ about reaching that hand out, you know what it's like coming into a room where you don't know anybody? Right? You know how you feel. You walk in like, where's an empty seat? Whose seat can I sit in that they're not going to stab me when I steal their seat? It's the only thought that you have. And then you go in and sit down and nobody looks at you. They just walk by you. How horrible is that? Thanks for doing your job because you're building a culture. And it's a culture of the kingdom. It's a culture of the love of the Father living and reigning through each and every one of us. And we don't want to stop. We want to build that even bigger. We want to build that even stronger in the name of Jesus. Amen? How many times when we walk out of church do we refuse to walk in the kingdom culture? Does our conversation change and do we set things down? But I want you to know the Bible says that we're to be salt and light, and therefore everywhere you walk, you're to change the culture. And you're to bring eternity everywhere you are because it's already in your heart. And no matter where you walk, when you walk in, light walks in, authority walks in, peace walks in, joy walks in, it all walks in with you. You know, are we looking for hope in all the things that they hope in? Living according to the law doesn't impress anybody. Anyone that walks according to the law, nobody's impressed. It's easy to walk according to the law. The law is usually self-righteous, and it usually divides people. A living sacrifice, that changes people. Jesus Christ was a living sacrifice. He lived in such a way that he laid his life down for the Father. Whatever he asked, he did. Can I tell you, everywhere he went, he changed people's lives. So living according to the law never impresses anybody, but we live as living sacrifices. We're going to change everybody around us. When everything that we have is for them, everything that we are is for someone else, all that God has deposited in us is to pour out into somebody else's life. When we start to live as a sacrifice, one that gives all that we are, which is the King of Glory, all you are is what has been paid for you, is what the price that has been paid for you qualifies you as. You are a child of God, and the very presence of God lives on the inside of you. Therefore, when you walk out, all you have to give is Him. When we give Him, they change. When we proclaim Him, they change. Proverbs 8:12, again, we need to find out what knowledge and discretion is. Discretion is the freedom to decide what should be done in every particular situation. Here's what should be done in every situation. Jesus Christ is glorified. Amen. Every single situation that we ever get in, it's our lives to bring Him glory. Every day, every moment, everything that we put our hands to. Discernment says in Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom. You know, we are to preserve the wisdom and not walk as men walks, but to walk as God walks in eternity. That's how we are to walk. We're to walk on the earth as Jesus is, because he said, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. As he is, all that he has, sitting at the right hand of the Father, you possess. All authority, all power, peace, joy. He's not impressed, no matter how chaotic the world gets, because he knows that anybody that walks with him is free. Anyone that walks with him can walk in perfect peace in every situation. The only times that I ever lost my peace is when I got my eyes off of my God and put them on my situation. Every single time. Every time that I got my eyes off myself and I got it on, or I got my eyes off him and I put it on myself or on my situation, I lost hope. I lost my peace. I lost my joy. And you know who I blamed it on? Everybody else. I blamed it on those that caused me pain. I blamed it on those that caused me grief. I blamed it on those that let me down. Tell your neighbor, say, you can't control me by letting me down. Miracles are happening in the house of God today. Oh, yeah. Miracles are happening in the house of God because our eyes are going to be fixed on the kingdom of the culture. And our culture is going to be wrapped up in the kingdom. So the only response that we have is, greater is he that is in me. As he is, so am I. All that I put my hands to is going to prosper. Where I walk in the light as he is the light. Everyone I walk in, I'm going to preserve the moral and the spiritual fabric of the word of God. They're going to see Christ in me. As I open my mouth, I'm going to speak life into every situation. Every single one. Not some days. Not once in a while. But every day. I want to speak life. I want to speak life into the mirror. I want to speak life into my wife. I want to speak life into my children. I want to speak life into my grandchildren. I want to speak life into every single person I come in contact with. I brought those chairs down to Pastor Jeff. Another church was getting rid of 100 chairs, and Jeff's got these pews that are, well, pews. Painful pews. And so I called the church and said, hey, listen, how many chairs you got left? They said about 100. I said, okay, I'll take them all. So me and my sons went over there, loaded them up in a trailer, and then I brought them down to Jeff yesterday, or Friday. And came in, and Jeff was like, we remember that day. I remember the day we yanked the pews out of here. Holy mackerel. Huh? Yeah, we came out with the choir robes and everything. We did a service saying sayonara to the pews. And then we removed them all. And they were all curved, and the nails were sticking out. People ripping their dresses and their pants on the nails. We pound them back in, but they pop back out again, you know. And so we got rid of them all, and Jeff was like a little kid down there. I brought them. Now, the padding, these were chairs that we bought in the church in Greenville, I think in 91. So they're not new, but they're newer than a pew. So the pads are only about this thick on them. He said, oh, they're comfortable. Those are nice. It's all perspective, amen? So I brought him down, and I said, come on, let's go get a bite to eat. So we went over to the diner. We sit down, and I said to the, there was a lady sitting next to us, just by herself, an elderly lady. And I said, ma'am, they said this is the nice section. Is that true? She said, yes, it is, and I'll do my best today, she said. I said, that's wonderful. I said, then we'll sit here next to you, okay, because they told us you were very nice. She said, who told you that? Some people haven't heard that in a long time, amen? So by the time we got done talking with her, we heard about her whole story. She's a widow. She's living by herself and all this stuff. Invited her to Jeff's church. She said, I'm going to stop in there. I haven't been to church in a long time, but I'm going to stop in there. Why? Why is she going to stop in there? Because the culture of the kingdom lives on the inside of us. And we didn't care about rejection. We didn't care about being mocked. We didn't care about what a response was going to be. We were going to love her in so many wonderful ways, she was bound to like at least one of them. Listen, that first statement might not work. You might have to throw out a couple of more fish. You just got to throw them fish out and just keep fishing. But eventually she started to laugh. I asked her if she was going to pick up our tab. And she said, no. I said, well, I'll pick up your tab. She said, no. But she's coming to church at Jeff's today. Can I tell you, you're salt and light. Amen. When you walk in, the truth walks in, love walks in, joy walks in, peace walks in. Freedom walks into every place you go. That's who you are. You are the culture of the kingdom, and you are the world changers that God has created for this time and season. Amen. Stand up this morning. Amen. Listen, I pray that when we're doing worship, that whatever that thought was that's been consuming you, that stopped you or held you back from giving yourself completely. Or maybe it's a thought that's been destroying your attitude. Maybe it was a thought that was a lie from the enemy that said you were less than somebody else in your life or in this room, whatever it is. I pray that that fell off this morning. That was our prayer for you this morning, that that thought no longer rules your life, but the word of God, your salt and your light, the word of God rules and reigns in every situation. The Bible says you're free indeed, amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say you're free. You're free. Tell your other neighbor, say you're free. You're free. Tell the person behind you, you look pretty free. All right. There's still a little work to do. There's still a little work to do, all right? But you're free in the name of Jesus Christ to do one thing, the will of your Father. One thing this week, the will of your Father. In every situation. Flat tire, hallelujah! No spare. Oh, Jesus, you're just too good to me. Get some of your friends, have them hang out one side of your car, and, you know, they'll help you. But whatever it takes, find joy in the midst of struggle. That's where victory is made. That's where victory is created in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the family of God. I thank you for the freedom in the house of God. I thank you for joy in the house of God. I thank you that your word says that as you are, so are we. Father, I pray for perfect peace right now. Father, you said the peace that you give, you don't take it back. You said it's ours to have forever. And every time we read your word, peace wells up inside of us even more. Every time we read your word, we see, oh, I need to grab a hold of that. I need to proclaim that over my life and over my family. Oh, thank you, Father, for the word for Harry and Sam and Fred this week. Thank you, Father, for giving me the words of life, and they would be a life more abundantly than I've ever lived before. Father, I pray your blessing upon every single one here. Lord, that as they lifted up their hands in surrender earlier, they said, Father, let thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And Father, we agree that because of every life that's represented here this morning, other lives are going to be changed and brought into the kingdom culture of Rock Solid Church and the other churches preaching Jesus Christ in the area. No matter where we meet them, Father, help us to get them plugged into the local church so they can be strengthened in the name of Jesus and according to your word, so that you would be glorified through every life. Let us be that salt and that light, preserving the moral and the spiritual authority of your word. Lord, we don't want to live like the world any longer. We're going to live according to the kingdom culture. We're going to live according to the culture of eternity, knowing who our God is, never fretting tomorrow, but always knowing the needs are already met. We trust you this day, Father. And we surrender our lives in this week to you, that you would be glorified in everything we do, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You have one thing to do, and that's the will of your Father. Remember, them two kingdoms collided today.